joined now by Ira Winterman, South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, how you doing? Good morning.
I am doing good, sort of getting ready before I take the deep inhale and get ready for a week of free agent craziness.
Yeah, this is going to be wild. You know, before we get to what's what's going to happen this week, I know the story came up this past week. Daryl Morey of the Rockets suggested that maybe they should flip the draft and free agency. That would seem to make a lot of sense. Could you think of any reason why they shouldn't flip the two?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mentioned that in the column I just posted at sunsentinel.com.
Yeah.
Here's the issue. I love the idea. I've been a proponent of that for years. I think the NFL has it right. Get your veterans in line. They need more anyway. Fill in with your rookies during the draft. Then go back for the second bite of the apple. Here's the problem. You have to obviously wait for the new salary cap to be set and the playoffs to be over. So if you're going to do, let's say, 2 weeks of free agency after the finals, that means you're not going to have the draft probably till some point in July. I have no issue with that. The problem then is Summer League, which has become sort of this league unto itself with the NBA, nationally televised, all 30 teams. So when you look at it that way, all of a sudden you're talking Summer League potentially in August. So the NBA has to decide, the NFL sort of is already, but do you want to be an 11, 12-month-a-year sport? Is it too much? Will there be fatigue? I think that's the issue. Clearly, Summer League means everything for rookies. So you have to wait till after the draft, of course, to bring them in. So it's just a matter of how much does the NBA want to be an 11th-month sport? Otherwise, right. I think it absolutely is the way to go. We're seeing it this year. If LeBron, they knew he was leaving Cleveland, then maybe you take a different draft approach. Other teams,
right.
If they knew they could or couldn't get certain players. In other words, if Dallas knew they were going to get DeAndre Jordan, they wouldn't even have thought about maybe trying to do something with Mo Bamba or make a move in that direction. So, yeah, it makes all the sense in the world except for the Summer League component. And I don't think NBA Summer League is going anywhere because it's free programming for another month.
Ira Winterman, South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, you covered LeBron, obviously, 4 years in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Jason Lloyd of The Athletic, who covers him where I am in Cleveland, made the point in an article yesterday saying, hey, a lot of this has a similar feel. 2010, he kind of shut the Cavs out, and he went to Miami. In 2014, he shut Pat Riley out. He went back to Cleveland. And in 2018, after the last couple of years, he's been in the mix with the front office in terms of player moves. That's not been the case this year. Does it feel the same to you, and do you think he's going to L.A.?
One, I think he's going to L.A., but two, Adam, I don't think it feels the same for this reason. There's never been a point before where a team has come out and said, we are going to do something dramatic. Remember the comments from Magic Johnson this week. I give myself 2 years. We will get free agents. When LeBron came to the Heat in 2010, Pat Riley never said, we're getting LeBron James. It just
right.
happened. When LeBron went back to the Cavs in 2014, Dan Gilbert never said, we're getting LeBron. It just happened. It sure feels like Magic, who loves to talk anyway, and certainly has gotten himself in trouble with tampering and things like that over the years, has come out so strongly saying there will be dynamic player movement for the Lakers that this feels different. It almost feels like Magic has announced that at least one star free agent he knows for sure is coming, and LeBron seems like that logical choice. So, I mean, I know the odds makers are all over the place. I certainly understand Jason Lloyd and Dave McMenamin saying there's still a chance for Cleveland, which I truly believe there is. But, man, Magic has put it all on the line again.
Yeah. I think the only reason, and Ira, you know, I was saying before, you know, I'm born and raised in New York. I lived in New York for most of the first 40 years of my life. But I've lived and worked in Cleveland for the last 7 years now. And what I've learned about Cleveland – I think it's a Midwest, a big, maybe not Chicago, but like kind of like the Midwestern cities like Pittsburgh and St. Louis. There is a connection to where you're from. Like, yeah, I have a connection to being from New York, but I think people mm-hmm. from the big cities on the coast are more comfortable being transient. And I think being from Cleveland, being from Northeast Ohio, means more to LeBron than it might be somebody that's from L.A. or New York. And ultimately, I don't know if that's enough to keep him, but I do think a lot of national media members completely disregard that pull that Northeast Ohio has for its people and players.
No, I mean, look, I'm the first one to tell you. I saw what happened when Dwayne Wade left. I saw what happened when he came back and how meaningful it was for a community to have their hero. And honestly, how Dwayne was able to exhale and say, this feels like home, his adopted home. So I get that part of it. I just think it's a little different in this situation right now because you know what? If you're going to ask, what is your overwhelming thought what's driving LeBron? So you might say hometown. That's a perfectly fine reason. Others might say championships, Michael and Kobe, and winning titles. That's a perfectly fine reason. My ultimate takeaway is this. I watched the playoffs, and I saw the look on LeBron's face of, can someone please help me here? And his utter exhaustion when I saw him on the bench during games that he couldn't even muster the energy to get mad directly at J.R. Smith. He was so exhausted. I just can't see that man carrying on like that again. Now, maybe Cleveland pulls a rabbit out of a hat and comes up with something beyond Kevin Love and swings a trade that we don't think Kobe Altman has coming, then it's different. But right now, that to me is the vision of LeBron during those playoffs. That man was exhausted mentally. That man was exhausted physically. And I don't think at 33, when you're going to sign a 4 or 5 year contract, you want to put yourself in that situation again.
Yeah, I listen, that's why in the end I would still ultimately give the edge to the Lakers right now. I think the, you know, being from Northeast Ohio, I think the power that he has within the Cavs organization, and just the fact that there's, like, even if no matter where he goes, including the Lakers, there's no sure thing that they're going to the finals, that's the hope for the Cavs. In terms of just basketball, like, for all, to me, Ira, and for all the talk of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, I think the Lakers roster as is, I'd rather play with if I were LeBron than the Cavs' current roster, and that's even without George or Kawhi Leonard. What about you?
Well, I'll give you the perfect example. When that trade was made and when Clarkson was brought in and Nance, the guy they didn't give up right now was Brandon Ingram. The guy they didn't give up was Lonzo Ball. They were careful to know the guy they didn't give up was Kyle Kuzma. Here's the difference, though. Yes. The one difference is this. LeBron will have an easier path to the finals in the East, although I don't think it's easy as recent years because the Celtics are getting Kyrie and Hayward back. The 76ers are growing as a team with cap space for at least one more quality player. So I wonder if LeBron says to himself, you know what, to have to play those full 6 weeks and be exhausted, maybe it's not the worst thing to get the Warriors one round earlier. Maybe it's not the worst thing to only play 6 weeks instead of 8 weeks of playoffs anyway and get the ultimate test that much quicker if he does go to L.A. So there's a lot there that makes sense because the odometer on LeBron is at a point right now that if the Warriors still are the ultimate challenge, so what? He gets them in late May instead of early June. I think people are overstating the Eastern Conference, Western Conference, and as you know, LeBron is a basketball savant. He knows how good the Celtics are. He knows how good the Sixers are. People forget that right now where the Cavs finished in the standings last season anyway. So it's not like during the regular season they're contending for the best record. So I think when he puts that all in there, I mean, look, we've just talked here for like 8-10 minutes, and everything is pointing to L.A.
Yep.
But we also know no one expected in 2010 that it would be Miami. No one thought after 4 straight trips to the finals in 2014 it'll be the Cavs. I think that's why people like you and me hedge every single thing we say, because LeBron can be so unpredictable.
Yeah, he can. We're talking with Ira Windeman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Paul George going back to Oklahoma City. And, you know, again, maybe I'll be wrong, but I find if LeBron stays in Cleveland, okay, yeah, maybe I could see Paul George staying in Oklahoma City. But if LeBron goes to L.A., I can't imagine there's any way Paul George doesn't go with him. How about you?
No, and even that ESPN interview he did, his three-part series when he sat down with Dwayne Wade, to mention the Lakers by name, I think really for the first time in that kind of setting so close to free agency, and talk about his hometown team and all that, that had to be discouraging for Thunder fans. That had to have them think twice. And let me ask you this. You know, you talk about the loyalties to your teams over the years. We all do. How uncomfortable is it to have a player on your team? Let's say he goes back to the Thunder on a 1-1 and sees if it works with Russell Westbrook. But to know that a player on your team wants to be somewhere else, that a player in your team says, one day I'm getting to the Lakers. So every day he's with your team, that clock is still ticking down. Well, we know Paul George told us in a nationally reported self-produced video that he wants to play for the Lakers. That's just odd. I mean, that's almost not, that's not like a player demanding a trade. He's a free agent. He can say whatever he wants. But imagine a player under contract, if he said that, well, I love being here with the Thunder and Sam Presti, but one day I'm going to be a Lakers.
Right.
It really was a strange thing to say if you sort of didn't have at least one foot out the door.
Or let's say the Lakers do get LeBron and Paul George.
Okay.
What's the smart move then? Keep the two of those guys with those four good young players they have, bring in a few veterans that'll take less money to play on that good team, or trade two of those young players, maybe even three, and some draft picks, and try to get Kawhi Leonard. What's the smarter play?
I think the first thing that happens when LeBron and, let's say, Paul George arrives is they tell LeVar Ball, you're now working somewhere else, go promote elsewhere. And it makes sense from a basketball standpoint from this. Lonzo Ball is a primary ball handler who really has no other definitive aspect to his game. We've seen the awkward shot, something they're working on. But a team that could develop him, maybe an Atlanta, even though they drafted two guards, or another team with salary cap space, or even just veteran players to trade, makes all the sense in the world. So I think if there's no Kawhi trade and the Lakers keep their pieces, if they split their salary cap space between Paul George and LeBron, then there's part B. Just because those guys could have been traded for Kawhi Leonard doesn't mean they can't be traded for one of 200 veterans under contracts for other teams. And you know what? General manager LeBron James will arrive there with his whiteboard and he'll tell the Lakers what trade to make. And you know what? Like I said, and as you know, being in Cleveland, he's such a basketball savant, he'll make the right move also. He'll move Lonzo Ball out. He'll move, I don't think Kuzma, I think he's a piece LeBron likes, but maybe even Brandon Ingram. Because remember, you can have LeBron, you can have Paul George, you have all the forwards you need, and he'll get yet another veteran that'll blow you away. Because LeBron knows a big two only pulls you even with the Rockets, with Chris Paul and James Harden. It doesn't pull you even with the big threes we're seeing around the NBA. He's going to get himself another veteran, just like Boston did when they got Ray Allen after the Kevin Garnett thing. He'll get himself a third star. If LeBron goes to L.A., it will be a big three of some sort.
Yeah, I agree. So as this plays out over the next week, which ball do you expect to drop first, LeBron, Paul George, or Kawhi Leonard?
You know, I don't think the timing matters, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to refer back to 2010. Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh had their little press conference with Michael Wilbon and ESPN, and the day later LeBron did it. But that was all done in concert. So it's just a matter of who's going to have their moment. But don't kid yourself. If LeBron goes on his uninterrupted webcast and says, I'm going to L.A., everyone knows there's a second shoe, you know, foot shoe that's going to drop or whatever. And it'll be Paul George or the Kawhi Leonard trade or something like that. So it's only a matter of when the timing of the announcements will come. I think LeBron goes first. I think everyone's waiting for that anyway. But it'll all be tied together. If LeBron goes to L.A., you can bet there'll be another second announcement relatively quickly alongside of that.
Ira, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate the time.
Oh, when it's LeBron, it's always great stuff.
That's right.